New Year's resolutions, are they worth the effort during a pandemic? We all know the odds are stacked against us when we make New Year's resolutions, but we make them anyway. To lose weight, save more money, drink less. But what about this year? Isn't it good enough to just get through it all? Or is it the perfect time to reassess your values and goals? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we discuss the idea of resolutions with an eclectic group, a psychologist and a social worker, a dietitian, renowned poet Richard Blanco, the author of a new book on Dry January, and former Maine Secretary of State Matt Dunlap. Are you making resolutions? What is the role of hope and aspirations during challenging times? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. This is Maine Calling, and I am your host, Jennifer Rooks. Well, it's the beginning of a new year, but this is not a typical beginning of a new year by any measure. So are you making resolutions? Are you making vague goals? Today on Maine Calling, we are going to discuss the role of resolutions with a fantastic panel. My guest, Richard Blanco, a renowned poet, author, and speaker, was the inaugural poet for President Obama's 2013 inauguration. Dori Hacker is with us, a social worker and clinical manager of the Department of Clinical Innovation at Maine Behavioral Health Care, and Amy Wood, a psychologist, author, and executive coach. We invite your questions and comments. We want to know if you've made any New Year's resolutions this year. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling. Post a comment to our Facebook page or call us at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you. Amy, why don't we start with you? Why do we make resolutions and why is it so hard to keep them?
Well, we make them for a good reason. It's the start of a new year. It's a new opportunity to make plans, to come up with new goals, things we want to accomplish, and that's wonderful. It's very motivating. It's very inspiring. The problem, though, it's not the resolutions, which are all usually pretty reasonable. It's the way we try to accomplish them. And by that, I mean, we try to accomplish them in one full sweep, very, very quickly, like a light switch. So, for example, very common resolution for most of us is, this is the year I'm going to lose that 10 pounds or the 5 pounds after eating a lot during the holiday season. And then so we say, starting January 2nd, no more sugar, no more junk food. I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to join a gym, and that usually lasts, maybe till January 9th. And that's an official number, by the way. That's when most people drop their resolutions because the goal is just.
Oh, really? January 9th? Yeah, wow. Yeah. 3 days from now.
People just try to do it too fast and it's just too overwhelming, too intimidating. And then people end up depressed and more stuck because they can't do it in one full big step like that.
All right. Well, in just a minute, we're going to talk about a better way to think about it. But Dori, I want to ask you this. We're having this conversation during a pandemic. This year is very stressful. Is it, in your view, worth it to make resolutions this year or just say, you know what, getting through this is enough?
You know, I like the word resolution, but I really think of it more as intention setting. And I always think that there's a space and time for intention setting at any mark of the day or year. So I absolutely think it's worth setting goals. I think it's very worth thinking about not necessarily what we do or what grand goal we reach, but how we want to be in our life and in the world in the coming day, week, or year. And I think these calendar shifts do give us an opportunity to just think about a year stretch and think, okay, the last year, maybe I really neglected some personal care or felt like things got really out of balance. What matters most to me? What do I want to sort of put back into my schedule and make time and space for? But I would be careful about, just as Amy says, sort of jumping in with some long list of major life changes. Pandemic or not, that's very hard for our mental health and well-being. We don't make changes quickly and overnight. Our brains aren't wired for quick habit changes. But thinking more about the intentions behind what we want to do, so whether it's a physical goal like getting in shape, thinking about, I want to feel more vital, I want to have more energy, I want to do things that are good for my body. And then that way, if you hope to work out every day and you only get to work out one day the first week or two, you still get to celebrate the win. Well, I worked out more than I did last week. So that, you know, I got to move the needle forward in the things that are important to me.
Well, Richard Blanco, bringing you into the conversation, your poems and writings often relate to hope and aspiration. Do you think setting New Year's goals are tied to a sense of hope? And do you make them?
Well, somewhat. I actually take a little bit of a different approach. Well, first of all, as a writer, I'm always taking inventory January 1st or July 1st or whatnot, because the writing is always something that it's always about exploring, you know, where you are in your life in some ways. But I actually like to begin the new year also with some, you know, resolutions I think are great and whatnot. I mean, everything that Dory and Amy are saying is sort of resonating with me. But I also like to begin with gratitude. I like to take an inventory. What did I do last year that was wonderful? Thinking about the pandemic, I've redecorated the whole house. I've learned how to cook. I've published more poems this year. I think it's a record in terms of poems I've written because I've had more time and things like that. So just like sort of setting a positive note and not saying like, I'm a bad person and I have to change all these things in my life. Oh, well, these things were working. And maybe I need to move in these directions. So I like the idea of also like kind of vision setting. I think like Dory was saying, the idea of like, also not, the resolutions are sort of fraught with like, you know, pressure and like, I got to do this X, Y, and Z, but rather just setting a direction, a vision, and exploring that. And sort of just letting it sit with you. I also think we also tend to do resolutions that are very sort of, very stoic or practical, right? But I think we have other kinds of, not resolutions, but other things to explore both spiritually, right? In terms of not just the body, but also what are we doing with our family? You know, what are the categories in which we need to explore and perhaps keep on growing in our life? Not necessarily we have to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but keep on working on them. And the one last thing I always like to say, you know, it's kind of a cliche for a poet to say, but there's, you know, as I look back, I think as we all look back in our lives, you know, all these big plans we have are really a bunch of little baby steps. They're little small decisions that you make that add up to something in the long run. Like, I didn't wake up one morning and on January 1st, I want to be a poet. I just said, you know what? I think I'm going to sign up for this workshop.
Right.
Like I really want to explore poetry. I don't know if it's going to be a resolution or not. And then here I am. 20 years later.
And I love what you said about redecorating the house and learning to cook. We've been painting a great deal at our house. And I know that everybody has been cooking more. So it's sort of like even without making resolutions, our life has changed. Amy, I want to turn to you about that, too. And you know, already the word gratitude has come up. Has 2020 in some ways primed us in a good way for making a general resolution for a more meaningful 2021 and life going forward? I think a lot of people, as they are missing out on little things in life, are feeling more grateful for things they used to take for granted.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And what I say to people about resolutions is not so fast. You know, we're in a rush all the time when it comes to the end of the year. Out with the old, in with the new, let's get moving. And we set up all these goals. And I think it's better to slow down and first acknowledge what went well in the past year. And for many of us, looking back on this very difficult year we've been through due to the pandemic and a lot of political upheaval, is we've learned to live with less. We've learned to appreciate more the small things in our lives. And that's really big. And I think that has helped us going into the new year to see that it's not accomplishing these big, huge, flashy things that's important. It's the smaller things. You know, having maybe a better relationship with someone over the past year because you've been in touch with them more with Zoom calls, or, you know, having a greater appreciation for your home because you've spent more time there. Things like that. I think that that has been really helpful. That has primed us all to set goals that are more nourishing, that are more manageable than what we might normally do in the new year.
Mm. I'm going to go to Carol, who's calling from Greenville Junction. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking this call. And great, great thanks to your fellow panelists or whatever you call it. Our poet laureate is just, it's a great honor to have a little bit of a comment about on resolutions. And it's a little early in the morning to sing, but I'm taking my cues from Jimmy Buffett's License to Chill, and I've heard his record more times than I can count lately. I added it to my Christmas stuff, and it's where he goes, well, I'll make a resolution not to make another one, never make another one, and that's my comment for the airwaves from here to the moon and back. So,
Carol, thank you for calling up and Happy New Year to you. Super fun attitude. Joining us now, Leslie Willette Todd. Leslie is a registered dietitian and owner of Nourished Lifestyles in Kennebunk. Thanks for joining us, Leslie.
Thank you for having me.
So we know that eat healthier, lose weight, is always at the top of the list for people's New Year's resolutions year after year. What is right and what is wrong with that resolution?
I always get excited that people are interested in feeling better, eating healthier, but January is probably the hardest time to eat healthier, especially in Maine. If you think about it, we don't get a lot of fresh produce. And when we do get fresh produce in the grocery store, it's much more expensive. So I like to have my clients focus on things that they can attain in the first and second quarter of the year. And a lot of that is just about reflection. Being kind to yourself will help you achieve your goals a whole lot faster.
And what do you mean? How does that work in terms of, for example, weight loss, being kind to yourself?
Yeah, so with weight loss, we're always thinking about how our body is not right. If we lose, 5 or 10 pounds, I will feel better. When in reality, you will probably feel better if you spoke more kindly about yourself. Especially with moms, I feel like they often feel their bodies are not the right shape or size, and they don't realize, like, their body allows them to pick up their kids, coddle their kids, make sure that their kids are okay, they're strong. So we often find that people are what we hate to refer to as body shaming, and that leads to the wrong motivation to lose weight.
It is a fact, and there have been lots of articles written about this, that during the pandemic, people have put on weight. People are frankly having a hard time getting their clothes on. So if you could give them one simple concrete tip that isn't, I'm going to eat healthy, exercise every day, and never eat sugar again, what would be maybe one or two concrete small steps in the right direction?
So I always like to have people include a fruit or a vegetable with every eating opportunity they have. By doing that, you're framing things in a more positive, less restrictive manner. You're not saying, I can't eat these things, but what you're saying is that I am eating, carrots and hummus, or I am eating whole grain crackers with chocolate hummus. So by thinking of the things you are eating and the nutrients you are putting in your body, it will really change your frame of mind and give you an easy win.
Well, Leslie, it's so nice to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. And we hope to have you back on Maine Calling to talk more about changing the way we think about food and maybe actually taking off some pounds. Leslie Ouellette, Todd, a registered dietitian and owner of Nourished Lifestyles. Dory, reflections on what Leslie said.
Oh, I just love where Leslie went in terms of the season of reflection. And it's such a great reminder for us all that winter does typically end up being a season a little bit more for inner reflection and rest and quiet. And, you know, there's the big trend around the sort of coziness of winter and sitting by the fire. And our systems are really built to go with the seasons. You know, there's extroverted seasons and introverted seasons, and finding some gentleness. The other way that this relates to this year in the pandemic, I was just talking with a bunch of people who took last week off, and people are working so hard. They've been shouldering a tremendous amount of different kinds of stress and changes, sometimes loss, sometimes massive workloads. And what people were finding last week when they took this time off was that they needed to nap more than they ever have in the past. And if we can really lean into our body's need for rest and have some self-compassion around that, rather than sort of driving ourselves to the gym in the hardest month of the year when it's so cold, that we might actually have the energy to go out and do things in the evenings or the weekends if we give ourselves a little bit more permission. Sometimes the slower you go, the quicker things go, you know, that if you just really do take your time rather than try to speed through. And I'm not saying stop exercise. I think that exercise is a massive support for mental health and well-being, navigating depression and those kinds of things. I think just trying to rely solely on goals that are related to utilizing our adrenaline when our adrenaline stores are so fatigued right now is a expectation that might lead us to feeling like we're not doing things good enough. And that's, we just don't need that message when we're all working so hard.
Richard, I'm thinking of you as Dory's talking. One, you are in Maine, but it grew up in a place of sunshine and no winter. But also thinking in terms of how busy you are and how hard you're always working on projects and public speaking events. What Dory said about taking winter and just slowing down, is that something that resonates with you?
Yeah, certainly. And not just in winter, but also like, that idea of being kind to yourself and being kind to your body. And I kind of, the idea of the tortoise and the hare, you know, going, like you just said, learn about it, going slower, you might go faster in some ways. For me, it happens a lot in terms of writing itself. Like sometimes I'm so tired, I'm just pushing myself and I got to finish this poem and I got to do that. And so this, I just say, you know what, I'm going to be a better writer if I just go take a nap right now and I go to bed early and the next day is so much more productive. I'm clear in my mind. And the whole idea is that, you know, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our spirits are all connected. I mean, they're all sort of working together. And if one is off, then, you know, you might set a body goal, but if there isn't that kind of being kind to yourself and sort of a spiritual and mind goal, then, you know, things start falling apart. And so, yeah, definitely there are times where I just also pull back and say, you know what, even working out, like I'm like, you know, I'm so tired right now that I'm probably doing my body more damage by working out than just taking a nice rest, reading a book or even watching some junk TV and fine taking a nice nap. And then I feel I can work out twice as hard the next day. So definitely it's all a matter of balancing all these parts of the self.
Wow. Well, I think that the theme of napping is coming up, and we're only about 24 minutes into the program. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear from more of you in the audience. This is Maine Calling. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bristol Seafood's My Fish Dish, lemon and pesto buttered Atlantic salmon and three other varieties found in the freezer at your local Hannaford, and by Bull Moose, celebrating the tactile experience of reading and proponents of dog ears and bookmarks. Locations across Maine and at bullmoose.com. Are you a fan of Masterpiece? This year marks its 50th anniversary on PBS, and we want to hear from Maine fans. What's your favorite Masterpiece program of all time? Is it a classic like Downton Abbey, Poldark, or Pride or Prejudice? Or perhaps a mystery such as Wallander or Sherlock? We invite you to send a note to fun@mainepublic.org. Tell us about your favorite Masterpiece program and why it's special to you. We'll highlight a few submissions on Maine Public Television and on the pages of Experience magazine. That address again is fun@mainepublic.org, and thanks. If you have an Alexa-powered device like an Amazon Echo or a Google Home smart speaker, you can easily find Maine Public Radio whenever and wherever you'd like with a single command. Visit mainepublic.org for helpful tips on addressing Maine Public Radio on your voice-activated device, and enjoy.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about New Year's resolutions. Joining me, Dori Hacker, who is a social worker and clinical manager at Maine Behavioral Healthcare, Amy Wood, a psychologist, coach, and author, and Richard Blanco, poet, author, civil engineer based in Bethel, Maine. Share your comments or questions via email at talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Liz calling from Sedgwick. Hi, Liz. Go ahead.
Hi. Hope you can hear me. I gave up on resolutions a few years ago and switched to making seasonal goals or to-do lists. And I started after one summer when I realized the whole summer had gone by and I'd done nothing fun. And so I had to adapt them in the pandemic, but I found that the lists, they're really usually kind of achievable and not too ambitious and fun, and often people join me. It's really been a completely different way to look at it. For example, one of mine this winter is to photograph a snowy owl on top of Sergeant Mountain, which means I need to get in shape and I have to train and I have to plan. And so it's a way to do it instead of saying I'm going to work out every week. And I've found that's been fun, and I share it on social media, so there's some accountability, and I often get people to join me. And it's I don't bother to do spring because we don't really have spring in Maine.
We have mud season. And I do think, though, Amy, I think she's onto something. I think this is the reason a lot of people might sign up for a road race or something like that, knowing that looking forward to the road race might make them put on their sneakers and maybe even enlist a friend.
Yeah, and I think this speaks to the importance of always having something to look forward to in the future. That keeps us motivated and it keeps us moving. And whether it's something that you have to train for or something that is just about leisure, you know, maybe seeing some friends or traveling somewhere when the pandemic is over, that's the beauty of a resolution, I think. As long as it's not something that's too big and too overwhelming and punishing, and as long as you're not expecting to accomplish it too quickly, having something to look forward to, even if it creates a little anxiety, that's good. You know, like preparing for a road race in the future, you're going to have anxiety as you near that date because it's a performance that you're asked to do. But that's a good anxiety because that helps you improve yourself and accomplish a goal that's going to better your life. It's when that anxiety gets to be too big, like, oh, I can't do this. This is just too much. I can't even sleep at night. That's when you have to scale back and ask, is what I've set up to look forward to just a little too ambitious?
All right. Well, Liz, I so appreciate your call. And have you gotten that great shot of the snowy owl? Liz, are you still there? Oh, shoot. Looks like we've lost her. So thank you, Liz, in Sedgwick, for calling into Maine Calling today. Calling in now, Hillary Scheinbaum, who is the author of a new book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month. Thanks so much for calling in, Hillary.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, dryuary or dry January is something that people I know have been doing for a couple years now. Tell us about it. How did this take hold and how many people are doing this now? Do we know?
Oh, millions. So dry January started in the UK less than 10 years ago. It has blown up in popularity over there and certainly made its way across the pond to the United States and worldwide. There are millions and millions of people who participate every year, and it's only grown. So I hope the trend continues.
Have you, how many times have you done it? And was it life changing?
Absolutely. This is my fifth dry January, and I've done a number of sober Octobers and other dry months in between. And within the first week or so, you'll notice clearer skin, better sleep, maybe even weight loss, because you're not intaking all of those calories anymore. So it really changed my perspective about how much I was consuming, and I've certainly consumed less and less ever since my first dry month.
So what are some tips? So people are listening and thinking, huh, I wonder if I could do this. What do you tell them?
Yeah, absolutely. So my first major tip, especially because many of us are working from home, is to hide the booze in your house. That means removing them from your bar cart or even your fridge and putting them in a place that you're not passing all of the time to remind you, you know, it's there, it's available, and it's possible to drink. My second tip would be to recruit a friend or a family member to do a non-alcoholic month with you, because they'll help you plan activities and they'll also be there to support you and even, you know, lend an ear if you need to vent. And my third tip is definitely schedule a number of activities that don't involve alcohol that will keep you busy and keep you happy. So that could be working out, that could be watching movies, it could be cooking or taking a hike. Whatever it is, it just means there are no happy hours and no booze flowing.
And Hillary, what's interesting to me is that this dry January trend doesn't seem to be something that's, you know, only in one age group. This is something Gen Xers are doing, millennials are doing, even Gen Z, you know, the youngest cohort that's just barely 21.
Absolutely. I think there's a great focus on wellness right now, and people are really looking for ways to better their health, better their minds, and just feel better in general. Clearly, you know, alcohol is a depressant, and so sometimes it works against us, even if libations make us feel good in the moment.
Well, Hillary, thank you so much for calling in. Hillary Scheinbaum has a brand new book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month. Dory, as you listen to Hillary, what do you think of her advice?
I think this is beautiful, and I love that this action is happening across the world. What comes to mind for me working in the area of behavioral health is just understanding that many might find as they remove alcohol from their daily or weekly consumption is that they were potentially utilizing it either as a reason or a way to cope or a way to connect with others. And so really making sure that you have replacement activities that help you cope and help you connect. So I think the advice here is really great. And one of the concepts I think could go for any of the habit changes people are trying to make, and especially when it comes to daily habits that provide a coping mechanism, is to consider that there's no actual falling off the wagon, that when we are making habit changes don't happen overnight, as it has been mentioned. So just thinking about taking the next right step. So, okay, I didn't reach my goal yesterday, but I'm going to work on it today and taking it one day at a time.
And Amy, this maybe saying I'm not going to drink for January is a simple resolution that could have a big impact. There are others like that, yes?
Yes, absolutely. And I really like the idea when it comes to resolutions of not saying I'm going to do this the entire year. And, you know, AA came up with this, and I love it because it works for anything that you're trying to accomplish. Just take it one day at a time, you know, so just say, you know, today I'm not going to drink alcohol and tomorrow I'll worry about tomorrow, rather than having to deal with the stress of I'm never going to drink again. or I'm not going to drink the rest of the year. And I encourage people, when it comes to resolutions, if you're going to make a resolution, make it simple and choose something that will have a big impact, like not drinking, or let's say drinking more water, or just being more active outside, or being kinder to yourself, or getting more sleep. Those simple things, if you do any one of those things, even for a couple of weeks or a month, you'll notice big differences in your physical health, in your mental health, and how connected you feel, how hopeful you feel. It doesn't have to be a big, shiny resolution. It can be something as simple as, you know, I usually have 3 cups of coffee a day. I'm going to start having 2 and 1 glass of water, more than I normally would. That right there can lead to huge things happening. So
Richard,
it doesn't have to be everything.
Richard, I know that this is something that that many writers ascribe to, that just do something every day. Monica Wood talks about getting your bum in the chair once a day. And I know others who try to write a certain number of words a day. Is this something you do with yourself?
Yeah, it kind of relates the same way in terms of resolutions and setting things that are too big or too, you know, too overwhelming. I have to remind myself of that all the time. You know, sometimes I block out, like, I'm going to write all day, you know, on my Google calendar. And then I just freak out because I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to write all day. You know, and then sometimes I'm just like, kind of like, you know what, I got an hour here. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to sit down and play a little while and see what happens. And suddenly something great happens. You know, it's kind of like we make things bigger than they have to be sometimes. And so I'm loving all this advice myself. I love, you know, just setting a smaller short-term goal. You know, I'm going to write all day. Like, I'm going to try and write 3 times this week, you know, whatever amount of time I can. And that's something obviously that I always have to negotiate. I guess the important thing is just to not lose sight in somehow, you know, because the bigger the challenge, the easier it is to lose sight and let go of it. I especially appreciate, I like this dry month thing because I also found during the pandemic, it's so much easier to drink because like, you're
right.
Just at home. Like you are your own bartender. And I've just realized right now, like, I've been drinking a lot more than usual just because the bottle is there. You know, you're not being social, right? It's not like you're out and you're having a drink and talking for half an hour and then maybe having another drink. So I really like that. I'm taking that up.
Well, and it is true that many people, you know, you look at the news articles about the liquor sales, many, many more people are drinking during the pandemic. And yet at the same time, people are becoming more aware of it and being more intentional about maybe taking a little break from it. Joining us now for this fun conversation, Matthew Dunlap, who until very recently was Maine's Secretary of State, who just completed his final term in that role. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I kind of feel like Regis Philbin. You know, I'm the default guest of last resort.
Well, I do think it's sort of ironic that today there is a major election and major news, and we don't have you on to talk about that because it was not in Maine. It was in Georgia. We have you to talk about New Year's resolutions. So, Matt, what are your New Year's resolutions? Do you make them?
I kind of do, but I kind of agree with everything that everybody else is talking about here, you know, because, you know, believe it or not, when I was a young man, I was an athlete. I was a varsity cross country runner at the University of Maine, and I got hurt. And then, you know, because you always think, I'm going to get back into that. Well, suddenly I'm not 19 years old, you know, built like a bronze statue of a Greek god anymore. And somehow along the line, I became kind of old and soft and fat, you know. And so the last couple of years, I thought about how I can try to get myself back into shape. And you always think about it right around New Year's. But it's not something that you can do all at once. You can't do it in a month. You can't do it in 3 months. But the operative question for me was not what can I do. It's what can I do every day, and breaking it down to those small component parts. And, you know, I'm older. I'm a little bit more brittle. It's easier for me to get injured. So I find other things to do. And so just like trying to do something good for yourself every day is really what the point here is, especially in this pandemic, when there's so much uncertainty and a lot of anxiety. If you can do something good for yourself, whether that's giving up alcohol for a month, or in my case, I managed to lose about 25 pounds over the last year, and I sleep better. I don't have to take antacids anymore. You know, I can just kind of go through my day and enjoy my meals without fear. And by the way, I'm not in shape. I have a long way to go before I'm in shape. But that type of resolve, I think, is what you have to, is less of a resolution than resolve to do a little bit of something good for yourself every day.
Okay, Matt, what's your secret to having lost 25 pounds? Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Well, it's just poking away at it, what I can do in half an hour or 45 minutes in the morning before I go to work. And that's really critical to be able to do that every day.
Okay. Before we let you go, Matt, any reflections on today's race election results in Georgia?
Well, you know, I actually know Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia. And, you know, he has done an exceptional job in staying as the eye of a really big storm. And he's exuded calm. He has been very professional. He's upheld the rule of law in the conduct of elections down there. And I don't think anything he's experienced has prepared him for what he's dealt with here the last couple of months. But by all accounts, as I was watching this yesterday, there were very, very few issues. They were well prepared, incredible turnout. And that's really the important thing that's happened here, far more so than the actual outcome of the election, is the fact that I think people can actually trust the result of what they saw in Georgia yesterday.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for calling in. Matthew Dunlap, until very recently, Maine's Secretary of State, and Happy New Year to you. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Owl Furniture, made in Maine and committed to design that support a healthy lifestyle at home or office. OwlFurniture.com.
I'm Tanya Mosley.
And I'm Peter O'Dowd. The balance of power in Washington is front and center as Georgia voters will determine the control of the Senate.
And while President Trump continues to protest, Congress meets to certify November's election results, confirming Joe Biden as the next president. That's next time on Here and Now.
Stay with us. Here and Now upcoming at the top of the hour at 12 noon today. There'll be a Maine CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw this afternoon at 2. The briefings are now on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday schedule. Tune in to Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, or the Maine Public Facebook page at 2 this afternoon for the live update. The CDC briefings are also archived on our website for later on-demand viewing, and you can find the link on the television drop-down at MainePublic.org. Once again, the Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus will be today at 2 on Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and on Facebook.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on our program, New Year's resolutions. Joining me, psychologist Amy Wood, celebrated poet Richard Blanco, and licensed clinical social worker Dori Hacker. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to Carol, who's calling from Falmouth. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi. It may seem strange, but you can hypnotize yourself. About 40 years ago, I was a pack-a-day smoker, and I went to Dr. Leiter yearly, and he says, Carol, I thought you were going to give up smoking. And I said, yes, I'm going to go to a hypnotist next month. And he says, Carol, you can hypnotize yourself. And I said, really? How do I do that? So he said, it's very simple. All you do about half a dozen times or more a day is say, October 1st, I'm giving up smoking. And I did that for about 2 months. And when October 1st came, I stopped smoking. And I worked at L.L. Bean at the time. And the very first entry that you went through to get to your job was the smoking room. And I literally gagged when I walked into a room full of smoke. And I'm just suggesting to people that are making resolutions that you do have control, mind over body, and you can hypnotize yourself. And that's all I wanted to say about that.
Carol, thank you for calling in, and congratulations, 40 years ago, that's a long time. Amy, as a psychologist, when you hear Carol's story, what are your reflections?
Well, I think that self-motivation and self-talk, very, very important. It's probably the key to being successful with accomplishing any kind of goal, no matter what kind of encouragement you have from others or motivation or coaching or equipment, whatever. Whatever resources you have, the most important thing is what you say to yourself and believing in yourself and being kind to yourself and rewarding yourself along the way. You can't accomplish goals without that.
Carol, thanks for your call. We'll move up to Jefferson and Abby. Hi, Abby. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for this wonderful discussion. In terms of being kind to yourself and affirmations, I think a lot of callers have mentioned and the panelists have mentioned the importance of sleep. And I just wanted to bring a little bit of science into that relative to your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And that unless we actually do provide ourselves with that rest, we can constantly be activating the sympathetic nervous system. And so as callers and even the dietitian have mentioned, sleep is very important, but you have to take into consideration that it's, you know, calorie intake might not necessarily be a one-to-one ratio if your body is acting in, you know, a state of stress. And if you're not allowing yourself the time and the flexibility and patience with yourself to rest. And with all of the added stressors from last year, which are numerous, we may all be in a state of allostatic overload. And I just want to bring the point home that there's actually science that gives you the permission to rest your body and to know that that can be the most healing and the most forgiving thing that you can do for your health.
Abby, thanks for your call. Dory, I can hear you nodding over my headphones.
You couldn't be more correct. Your intuition is right on. So one of my areas of specialty is trauma treatment and trauma recovery. And Abby is spot on in terms of our stress response. I was referring to it earlier in terms of our adrenaline fatigue. And this is why rest is important. And actually, one of the things I've been really trying to promote throughout our system, I've been supporting a lot of teams, frontline workers who are experiencing stress, feeling sort of short-circuited and underwater a lot of the time, is not only to get the sleep they need during their sleep time, but to also create pause buttons for their nervous system throughout the day and making those really reasonable amounts of time so that people can do it like 2 whole minutes. And to really just take 2 whole minutes to find your breath, maybe bring some intention into your breath, do a little body scan, how am I, check in, and just ask yourself, what do I need to help me feel more resilient right now? Resilience isn't something you're born with. It's something that you build right in the moment, and it's something you build over time. And so sometimes, and this is how it goes right along with what Richard was saying too, in terms of, just checking in one day, you might want to write all day, and another day you might want to take a nap. It's really just saying, what do I need right now to build my resilience and well-being? And sometimes that is to go for a run. I can't tell you, I was so surprised this morning. I woke up at 5:30, which never happens, and decided to get on the treadmill, which never, ever happens, because my body just wanted it. It just needed it. And But if I had forced myself to do that, I'm telling you, the outcome would not have been as good. So really just checking in day to day and giving yourself that pause button and just resting your nervous system throughout the day. And it can just sort of help you enter the next hour, for example, with just a little bit more resilience and presence, connectedness as you go on to the day.
Abby, thank you so much for your call. I'm going to move up to Warren and Matthew. Hi, Matthew. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kept a journal this year. I hadn't done it for years. And it was a page by page. And every morning having coffee, I'd fill out sometimes just what the day looked like, what I thought about, whatever got done yesterday. And in the bottom, I had two things. I put down what I'm grateful for. I'd write three things that I was grateful for that particular day or more if it came to mind, and who I talked to on the phone or in person. And it's quite interesting looking back on who you came in contact with and how your days went. So,
Matthew, I've always wished I kept a journal and have never done it. Richard, do you keep a journal?
Not that I keep a writing journal where I record moments, you know, not daily, but maybe a few entries a week. You know, it's somewhat of a writing journal about poem ideas, but it's also just a very reflective journal, like checking in with myself where I'm at, what I'm feeling at that moment. And it's really interesting because speaking about how, you know, how things maybe happen naturally or how, you know, just setting intention and how this affects us and lets us accomplish our goals, so to speak, or our resolutions. So since I never look back at that journal, and then, you know, I'll look back at it after a year after I've written, and I can almost check off, you know, oh, I wrote about that. And look, I thought about this and here's this poem. It's just setting that, you know, like, almost like the hypnotizing, the calling with the hypnotizing thing, like setting that presence that just, you know, sets that in your mind. And then it almost unpacks itself or just comes out naturally because you've already subconsciously sort of, you're there. And so you're guided by that. So, yeah, I find journaling is a great way in all these ways that we're talking about, you know, taking a time out, reflecting, self-care, you know, nurturing. I think just taking those time outs are really important.
We'll move on to Mary Lee. Mary Lee calling in from Portland. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I'm just wanting to bring up, it seems like there's almost like two categories, almost like the self-care, the self-compassion, and then the self-discipline, kind of self-responsibility, almost as if they're on the same continuum. For me, it's really important kind of to hold both of those things together. And sometimes, you know, if you're having a hard day, kind of being more with the self-compassion piece. And then other times it's like, no, I need to hold myself accountable here. And those two, like kind of making a flow between them really, really works for me.
Yeah. Mary Lee, thank you so much for calling with that insight. Amy, I'm wondering if you can talk about her insight and also maybe just some tips of keeping on track with resolutions, back to the theme of today's program.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first, I love what Mary Lee said, and it's so true. You have to walk that line between kindness to yourself and listening to yourself and then also being accountable and sometimes having to push yourself. And, you know, there are days when you're going to feel more motivated than others. And sometimes you really do have to listen and say, you know what, I just can't do this today. I have to take a nap, or I have to just go for a walk and take a break, or I have to cancel whatever I have coming up this evening. And then there are other days where maybe, you know, you just need to push yourself a little to get going. But I think if on those days when you really feel like, you know, I just can't do this, if you push yourself through that, you're going to rebel even more later. So a lot of people are afraid to give into that, you know, like give into just closing the laptop and taking a break because they think they won't get enough done. But when you give yourself the break, what you're doing is you're reviving yourself, you're refueling, and then you usually come back with greater focus and more creativity or whatever you need to get the job done. So allowing yourself to just go with your energy fluctuations and your inner intuition is really, really important. And trusting that if you do that, whatever those goals are you've set for yourself that are so meaningful, you will get those things done. And how to stay on track, I think what I tell my clients is when they're setting goals, you know, imagine we're meeting a year from now and you're telling me that you've achieved all these goals. What is that conversation we're having? How are you telling me that you're feeling? And there's a lot in the feeling of it. How do you want to feel? Whatever the goal is that anyone is trying to accomplish, it's because they want to feel better. And so if you can imagine yourself feeling as good as you're going to feel when you've accomplished what you want, you know, like if you've lost that weight or you've changed your diet or you've saved that money you want to save, whatever it happens to be, as you're moving toward that goal, you can ask every day, you know, what do I need to do today? What my intention is to get a little closer to that feeling place. What can I do today to put myself a little closer to that? That's what's going to get you to the end of the line, rather than saying, I have to do this today if I want to get there. What am I going to do today to feel a little bit better about myself, to feel a little bit more fulfilled, a little bit more of peace? Because that's really what resolutions come down to. We all want that. And that's why we set goals.
That's lovely. A tweet here from Susan. My resolutions for the new year always start with a list of 25 things I achieved, positive things I did, or things I accomplished. So I start out on a positive note instead of feeling like I failed when I stopped exercising or following my diet. Happy New Year. We just have a little bit of time left, and I understand we have a treat in store. Richard, you brought a poem with you?
Yes, not one of my own, but I read this poem often throughout the year, and especially at the beginning of the year, and I think it just occurred to me that there's touches a lot about many things we're talking about, taking that time out, about reflection, about just checking in, so to speak. And it's a poem, a beautiful poem by Derek Walcott. It's called Love After Love. It goes like this. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at each other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life.
Well, what a wonderful way to end the program.
That's nice.
That is Richard Blanco also joining us today. Dori Hacker, social worker at Maine Behavioral Healthcare, and Amy Wood, psychologist. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.